Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to A Sound Heart Radio. To this morning's episode is entitled God Has Given Each of Us a New Mind, and Collectively We Have the Mind of Christ. We're going to be taking a look once again at Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and that is Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 22. But before we go there, let me say that there has been a great deal of research in the area of spirituality and mental health and the impact of spirituality upon one's physical health and well-being. So we know that there is a vital connection between the spiritual life and what happens in physical life. It is also well known that it is attitude. It is the volition, that is the will of the individual. That has a dynamic role in, or plays a dynamic role in one's sense of well-being. Even in the most challenging areas of mental health, there is growing evidence that spirituality has a decisive and substantive impact upon outcomes. And so the reason why I'm spending so much time in this area of the mind, or in the Greek text, is the nous, and explaining that the New Testament documents have a lot to say about the mind and the appropriate use of the mind in the life of a believing one. This teaching is necessary because if the individual is to prosper according to the will of God, then he must understand divine instructions. And so Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 4 by using put off in verse 22, which is an aorist infinitive. And an infinitive is a verbal noun. He uses, this is an aorist infinitive middle, which means the individual acts upon himself or herself for his or her own advantage. Paul writes in Ephesians 4:22 that he put off concerning the former or prior life, the old man. And this is Paul's term for the former life, the life before the individual was in Christ, the old man. He uses the term pleon anthropon. Anthropon is a general term for humanity. It is, and includes male and female. So he goes on to state that, he says, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And so here Paul brings out for us an understanding that we need to have if we do not take advantage of God's teaching about the new mind that he has given us. So we have divine instruction that we are to put off. And he goes on in verse 23 to state, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So we have another verb, which is also an imperative for us. And here in the Greek, it means a new young mind. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, or the new anthropos, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, now we come to know that regeneration is the beginning, and that there are other set of blessings that God has for us. God is outfitting us, outfitting those who are the called out ones, for the eternal environment or the eternal sphere, which begins here in time for us. And so, with the new mind, we are enabled to take in divine phenomena, that is, Word of God, and by faith, the information that we take in as gnosis becomes epignosis. And so it is doctrine that becomes epignosis that enables us to grow up into him, or go up into all things in him. Christ is the measuring rod. And so the mind that God gives us is perfectly adapted to who we are now in Christ. And so our koinonia, that is the fellowship that we have with one another, and the fellowship more that we enjoy with the Lord, is from the new mind. And the volition, that is our human volition, comes into play in verse 22, where there is a hiatus. We cut off, we walk away from the old cosmic mind, which Paul talks about in his letter to the Romans, and we will go there shortly. And so we put on the new man, because we are members of the body of Christ. And Paul said it to the Ephesians, is about the body of Christ. Paul's letter to the Colossians is about Christ, the head, and as the head of the body, it is Christ who mediates to us the spiritual nourishment that we need to grow via the mind. In Colossians 2:19, we read, and not holding, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered, and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. And so he begins, well, at verse 14, Paul states, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances or legal opinion, or legal decree that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, that is, evil spirit beings, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. not worship angels. You do not worship angels. And shooting into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And so, verse 18 is very revealing. And he talks about the hubris. He talks about the pride of the fleshly mind and its will worship. Then he goes on, he says in verse 19, and not holding the head. Okay. And from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment and ministry, we are nourished, we are ministered to by Christ himself. And it is imperative to understand this, that if I'm to grow spiritually, there are things that I must put off in my life. If I keep these things in my life, then they would be, they are going to be, and they are, a hindrance to my spiritual growth. And if God is speaking to me about what I need to put off, then I need to hear God. And if one is in a spiritual battle between the will of God and the will of the flesh, that is very, very difficult. And individuals have cherished sin. And let me say that that is idolatry. And both in the Old Testament and New Testament, the word idolatry means nothing. There are idolatry that an individual can have with his heart that he thinks, well, no one will know about it. Or no one will ever find out about my secret sin. I like Scott Peck, Scott Peck's terms, people of the lie. And that is a very excellent book. Well worth your reading. The people of the lie have idolatrous thinking in their hearts. Now, God Peck does not use the term idolatrous thinking, but it, nevertheless, I'm using the biblical nomenclature, idolatrous thinking, with regard to secret sin. And individuals are deceived into believing that he or she can hide sin. Sin is lack, the definition of sin is lack of conformity to the character of God. Lack of conformity to the character of God, whether it be an act, disposition, or state. So that is the general working definition of sin that I'm using on a Mount High. Because sin is going on within the heart, then an individual cannot have mouth heart. There is a conflict. There is an imbalance. In order to have a sound heart, an individual must be true to himself or true to himself. There is an openness of the life. There is an openness of the heart to the will of God. There is no conflict. There has been that the decision has been made to follow the will of God from the heart, to do the will of God from the heart. This is the essence of true biblical discipleship. And so we do this by putting off the old mind, and putting on the new mind, which is created by God. And so but it's only with the new mind that we can understand the perfect character of God and his perfect will for us. It is through the new mind that I get the peace of God and I have the rest that God provides. I have satisfaction in life, in other words, through God. And I appreciate his word. I do not fight his word. The mind of the flesh, however, does fight the will of God. And in Paul's letter to the Romans, he talks about this first thing. In Romans chapter 8, Paul writes, and verse 1, quote, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Now notice the language in verse 1, "who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So, for the law, verse 2, "of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that he was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sin and flesh, and for sin condemned sin and flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And parakateo, the verb for walk, means to order one's steps. We do not order our steps according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And notice verse 5. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of flesh." Here is a statement. "But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded," verse 6, "death, but spiritually minded is life and peace." And that's and here we have the simple equation of that, the simple, powerful equation that's given to us in verse 6. And then in verse 7, he goes on to explain, "for the carnal mind." Verse 6, Paul writes, he has an adverb, "for the carnally minded." Death. Verse 7, "because the carnal mind," that is, the carnal, the fleshly, mental attitude, is enmity against God. Now, I don't want to be offensive, but the word enmity here means hatred. And the carnal mind has no desire for God. Hence, the necessity of the new birth, and hence the necessity of putting off the new mind. Verse 7, "because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they that are in the flesh, within the sphere of the flesh, cannot please God." Now, in verse 8, the preposition in Greek is a preposition which means within the sphere of. They that are within the sphere of the sarki, or the flesh. cannot be stopped. And so here is a very important truth to understand. For believing ones, if an individual who is a counselor has not come to understand this vital reality, and he or she is locked in a struggle with the flesh and has not come to terms with the reality of necessity of having the new mind, then the counseling is going to be tainted. One of the realities that we know of in secular counseling is the many, it's how individuals overstep the boundary of the counseling event. And counselors intrude into that forbidden area of having physical relationships with customers or patients, as a case. And so there's a book written about this called Sex in the Forbidden Zone. This is a huge problem. And really, it happens within two religious counselors as well. And so there must be that clarity. There must be that understanding that counseling must be Christ, be Christ-centered, and that we have the mind of Christ. So God has given to each of us a new mind. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul says that not only we each have a brand new mind from God, but Paul says collectively, he uses the collective pronoun in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Once again, Paul's letter to the Ephesians is about the body of Christ, and Paul's letter to the church of Colossae is about Christ, the head of the church. So not only are we given new minds, we are to put off the old and put on, we also have the mind of Christ. So we have these wonderful truths that God has revealed to us. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let me start at verse 9. Paul writes, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love them." We come to understand our relationship with God through the new mind. It is through the new mind that we come to appreciate, begin to appreciate the unsearchable riches of Christ. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Then Paul goes on, says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Our relationship with God is unparalleled. Your relationship with God is unparalleled. There is nothing like it. So, Paul talks about the deep things of God, and in the Latin Vulgate, the Latin Vulgate has profunda Dei, for the deep things of God. Profunda Dei. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words of which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man, and here the word natural is psychikos. Psychikos is the psychological man. It is a man, in other words, the natural individual who does not yet know God. He is therefore unregenerated. And psychikos, as used in the Greek text, is a qualitative adjective. And as a qualitative adjective, it is from the word psyche, which means breath. Breath. Psychological individual is the man of the breath. And so he goes on, but the natural man, in verse 14, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness or moronic. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually understood. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual, or the pneumaticos, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have, this is where we begin to experience the profound reality of the new life, the profound reality of our relationship. Because we begin to understand that the promises of God bring balance to the heart. They bring hope. They give us peace. They give us joy unspeakable full of glory. They give us to endure the things of this life, not only to endure, but to have marvelous, successful lives. And so it would do us well to dig into the Word of God, to mine the wealth, to mine the riches of the Word of God, to seek out those gold of things, those rich ore of the Word of God, and allow that to build us up in that new mind that God has given. And as we are built up in the Word of God, we become more conversant, more aware of the wonderful reality, the wonderful and powerful and life-changing reality of the new life that we have in Christ. Have a wonderful day filled with the love of God. My name is Dr. Osiris.